to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, September 4th, 2022, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Sunday, given that gospel, to welcome my wife and daughter to church this morning to tell them that I hate them. So there's that. It's also Labor Day weekend, of course, a time when we are celebrating with barbecues and gathering with friends. Some folks are traveling, some are visiting. Labor Day, I was reading, started in 1894 after a series of labor union strikes that crippled the country. The labor movement pressured Grover Cleveland, Eugene V. Debs, to declare a holiday to celebrate and honor the common man and woman, those whose labor makes possible all of the things that we do. And so I hope that in our Labor Day celebrations, we take the opportunity to think about those people whose hard work and labor makes possible our lives, and to maybe say thank you. Think about someone who's in an under or unappreciated role and take the opportunity to thank them. As many of us have reflected over the past couple of years, we're in a giant shift in the way that we think about work and labor in this country. Anybody who is starting or running a business is having a really hard time finding workers. Workers themselves are rethinking what it means to be at work. What does work look like? We've heard about the great resignation as people have reflected on their lives and forget it. I'm out of here. That's enough. I can't do this anymore. I read a new term this week that I'd never heard before, quiet quitting. Have you heard about this? Quiet quitting are people who are fed up with their job, but they still want to get paid. So they just show up and don't do anything. Wouldn't that be sad? Wouldn't that be a hard way to live, to show up? Because I think deep within us there is a desire, a need even, to work. We know that we are created in the image of God and that God labored for 6 days before resting on the Sabbath day. And that pattern of work and rest is essential and integral to living into our full potential as human beings. Many of our parishioners have hit retirement age. Some are just about to retire. Others are enjoying retirement. Others, it's far off. But I don't know one happily retired person who is not still working in some way. Maybe they're not getting a full-time wage anymore, but they have structured their life around being productive in some way, serving others, volunteering, helping out with grandkids, organizing their lives in a way that brings purpose and meaning to life. And I think that is one of the essential pieces of understanding the value of work and labor. I was reading in this Great Resignation a couple of quotes that really struck me. I don't often read this magazine, but I found this quote online from Elle magazine. And it was a woman executive who was talking about conversations that she has had with a number of her peers, women in the workforce, who have been reconsidering their goals in their careers. "Yes, I'm ambitious," a friend told me recently, "but climbing the corporate ladder does not interest me like it used to. A title, a bump in pay, it's not that satisfying. What I need to feel successful and fulfilled is completely different. Am I doing something that brings satisfaction? Do I feel like I'm learning? Do I feel like I'm contributing? Do I feel like I'm connecting to other people? Do I feel like I have flexibility in this new way we live and work? Am I given not only responsibility, but a sense of autonomy? Am I in a place that aligns with my values? The things that I am looking for have changed." things I'm looking for have changed. I think we're in a period of deep reflection and discernment about what we want, what we need, what is valuable as far as our work lives and our lives in general, whether we are in the workforce or retired, or whether we haven't yet joined that wonderful workforce for young people. What are those things? And can we get all of them? Probably not. In our working life, very few people have been able to organize their full-time paid work to satisfy, to check off all those boxes. But our hearts yearn for that. Many years ago, there was a fantastic book by Studs Terkel. Anybody read that book, Working? He collected stories from laborers, from common workers all over the country. He collected them into a book. It was later made into a series which ran on PBS, I think maybe in the late 70s or early 80s. If you get a chance, it is really interesting to watch this, because he let people speak for themselves. And what he found when he interviewed thousands of people from every possible kind of work you can think of, these are the things that he came up with. Work is about a search for daily meaning as much as it is for daily bread, for recognition as well as cash, for astonishment rather than torpor. I had to look up torpor, I couldn't remember what that meant. In short, for a sort of life, rather than a Monday through Friday sort of dying. Wow. Monday through Friday sort of dying. A poet once said, many lead lives of quiet desperation. That's what I thought of with that Monday through Friday dying. Another quote from Studs Terkel. I think most of us are looking not for a job, but for a calling. Most of us, like the assembly line worker, have jobs that are too small for our spirit. Jobs are not big enough for people. In this yearning for meaning and purpose, for satisfaction and connection, for a sense of contribution and community, I think we can look to the scriptures to find a deeper sense of what work can mean for us. We're made in the image of the God who made us and the world, who labored for 6 days and then took a day of rest. What I see in our scriptures today are stories of reimagination and transformation. Jeremiah the prophet is sent to a potter to witness how the potter takes a pot, and when it doesn't work out, he does not throw it away, but he refashions it into something beautiful and useful. That same clay can be remade over and over until it lives into its purpose. In our gospel, Jesus, in very challenging words, invites his disciples to think about the work of discipleship. What would it look like to reorganize your priorities in your life in such a way that you could fulfill the calling to be a disciple? How might your relationships with your family be affected? How might your relationships with your other parts of your life? How could you be so laser focused on following Jesus that everything else comes into alignment with that? Hating is a strong word. I think realignment is the word that speaks more to me. And finally, in Paul's letter to Philemon, he talks about his wonderful helper, Onesimus. Paul has been laboring as an apostle to the Gentiles, and he has come to rely upon Onesimus, who he has now treated like a son, and who looks at Paul like a father. The problem is that Onesimus is a slave, owned by Philemon, and now Philemon is asking for his slave, his property, to be returned. Paul invites Philemon to reimagine a new relationship with Onesimus. Imagine, he says, that now you are brothers in Christ, on the same level, serving as disciples and as apostles in the kingdom of God. Formerly, he was useless to you. Really, you didn't have much place for him, but now he has become useful, valuable, worthy as a co-worker in the spread of the kingdom of God. Set him free to live up to his potential as a co-worker in the kingdom of God. I believe those are the words that we need to hold on to as we think about our life in Christ, our work, which may include our secular employment, but often goes way beyond that. Our volunteering, our serving in the church, our caring for the needs of God's people in the world, our outreach to those who are poor, homeless, hungry, or destitute. How might God be inviting us to be set free, to be useful, valuable, and worthy to serve in the kingdom of God? How might we be like that potter's clay, not done? You know, I think it's funny, for those of you who are facing or have faced retirement, the word retirement is a horrible word. It kind of means that you've stopped something, right? You're going along useful and then you stop. And for a lot of people, that creates a kind of crisis of faith. Many people are now saying, let's throw out that word and let's use something like, not retire, but rewire. Brad Jones was telling me, that's the word they use at OPC now. Rewire, refashion, become something new, still full of energy, vitality, and service in the kingdom of God. How might God be unlocking in us our full potential as human beings, connected to other people and to the world, using the gifts that God has given us, set free to be reworked over and over until we achieve our final perfection in God's eternal and glorious kingdom. May that be our destiny, may that be our work, and may that be God's gift to us.